Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for these people. Lord, we thank you for your sweet presence filling this place. Lord, you know and I know if the people only hear me tonight, they're not going to be helped. So, Lord, right now I'm asking that you anoint their ears with ear salve that they may hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Let each one of them hear your voice, that they may hear their own shepherd's voice through these words tonight, Father. And, Father, I ask that you anoint my tongue. Make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, that I can speak forth the mind of Christ with boldness, but with simplicity that we may all understand. Father, more than anything else, we thank you for your presence by your Spirit. Anything you want to do, that's what we're going to do. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And all the people said,
Amen.
Yes! Hallelujah. For benefit of the tape, we got a rowdy bunch here tonight. Hallelujah. Wall-to-wall human beings. Hallelujah. Okay, let's just get right into the lesson tonight. And I know it's warm, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen?
Amen.
This is the last lesson for boot camp. And, And so, you know, if who said hallelujah? So, if you think I didn't pray about tonight's lesson, you got another thing coming. You get your marching orders tonight, really, you do. More so than you realize at this point. Because I asked the Lord, remember a couple of weeks ago, I was saying, how do you finish boot camp? How do you know? And what he told me was, he says, the end, the desire of Christianity, really what this is all about, is that Christ be formed in you. See, really, where you understand that sure enough, the living Christ dwells in your heart by faith, and just like the Father did the works through Him when He walked the earth in His own body, now the Father is doing the same works through Christ because Christ lives in your body. Amen. Coming to that revelation is when the power starts to flow. 10 years ago, I was praying in other tongues. Everyone say, praying in other tongues.
Praying in other tongues.
Minding my own business.
Minding my own business.
And the Holy Ghost said.
And the Holy Ghost said.
You can stop now. I really was. I was praying, minding my own business, and the Holy Ghost said. He said, there's only two things that have to be realized for the power to flow. 10 years ago, he told me this. He said, number one, you must realize how great is that King who lives within you. That's number one. You got to really see Jesus like John saw him on the Isle of Patmos. You know, not on the cross anymore. How many of y'all know Jesus the Christ is not on the cross anymore?
Amen.
He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the King of Glory. His voice is like that of many waters. You read about him like John saw him in the book of Revelations. Okay? That's the Christ who lives in you. That's the Christ. He says, number one, you must realize how great, how magnificent, how powerful is that King that lives in you. That's number one. Then second, the second thing that has to be realized, His willingness to use His power, both on your behalf and on the behalf of others through you. When those two things are realized, he said, the power flows. Now, the combination of the training you get at the prayer center, learning how to turn yourself over to the Holy Ghost, you know, you notice I don't emphasize that as much here because I know you're already getting the best training on earth that there is concerning that at the prayer center. Amen. Learning how to turn yourself over to the Holy Spirit and let Him pray those mysteries. And really, the mysteries He's praying has one goal, to reveal Christ in you. That's what it's all about. God the Father did not intend for the ministry of Jesus to end when He went back to heaven. God the Father intends for Christ the Anointed One to be still setting the captive free, opening the blind eyes, healing the sick, causing the lame to walk, saving lost sinners, salvaging backsliders, okay, getting the insane free from devils. He intends to still be doing all of that. The only difference is He does it through your body now by Christ who lives in us. See, that's the only difference. But the church has not emphasized that. The church has emphasized rules, regulations. I like to call them be nices. Well, be nices. You know, the church I grew up in had three messages. They had 9,000 ways of preaching these three messages. Here's the three. Get saved, be nice, go to heaven. That's it. They had 9,000 messages that all said those three things. Get saved. Now, thank God for them. They'd get you saved. Thank God. That's the goodwill of God. Get saved. You know, hallelujah. Thank God for that. And then be nice. I mean, you have lots of be nice messages. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Don't do this, but do that. Don't do that over there, but do this. Okay? And then stay with God and go to heaven. I mean, thank God for that. Okay? The gospel is a lot more than that. Amen. The Redeemer has come. He lives in your body. He intends to do the work of the Father through you.
Amen.
Now, that when you start walking in that, you've graduated. You've graduated. That's what it's all about. Christ in you, the hope of glory, he said. Okay? Now, the combination I started to say a while ago. Number one, Dave has taught you the best on earth. You guys have had filet mignon served to you in the Spirit. How to turn yourself over to the only one who is ever going to be able to reveal Christ in you. To where you understand it yourself. You know that you know, and you know what you know way down in your knower. That Christ lives in you. And His words become truth to you when He says, Patrick, whatever you ask in my name, I myself will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When that burns a hole through Patrick, when that consumes him, and he knows that Jesus said that to him, who will not lie, then Patrick sets about getting the captives free by the anointing. And the same is true for each and every one of us. But the one thing that you can do is turn yourself over to the Holy Ghost. And let Him start praying in other tongues. Let Him start passing that mystery through you. It's going to take a while. I don't know if you all have realized this. Hundreds of hours are ahead of you praying in other tongues. Do you understand me? Let's just get it straight. If you think this is going to happen in 2 days, you're wrong. That's why the Lord says, do it now. Do it now. Secondly, over here I've emphasized more than anything else the foundation of the Word.
Yeah.
Getting the Word into you. Because if you don't have your feet on a solid platform of the Word of God, and learn not to live by your emotions, and learn that you don't live by circumstances, and learn that the Word never changes, it is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you're dealing with a God that cannot lie, and you can trust His Word to the death, you can put your total trust and confidence in the Word. If you don't ever get that, then you're always going to be a roller coaster Christian. You know what I mean by that? When the circumstances are good, you're going to be up and God is with you. And when the circumstances are bad, God has forsaken me and I'm in the dumps. And if you don't ever get past that, the devil will lead you around with a ring in your nose the rest of your life. So I emphasize strongly the Word. Don't be telling me you love Jesus and you don't love the Word. You don't even understand Jesus yet. You don't know Him. Jesus is called, in the beginning was the
Word.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see it? Jesus is the Logos. He is the Word. You can't separate Him from the Word. You must know the Word. You must have it on the inside. It's your food. Try going a while without food, you'll get weak, won't you? If you go without the Word of God very long, you're going to get spiritually weak. You're going to become a punching bag for the devil.
Amen.
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 And when you fall, most likely you'll take several people with you. That's usually what happens.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Now that's my introduction. So when I was praying about the last message of all things, this was the one that He said for me to preach. And I'm real confident in it. This is the one. If you can get this, you're well on your way. Okay? Now, let me get my instructions. Now, I want you all to understand, this is the end of these boot camp lessons. This is certainly not the end of boot camp for you. If your little red notebooks and your lessons go in your duffel bag or in your closet or somewhere and they stay there, then you wasted your time by coming. You need to get those out and you need to confess these scriptures and go over these lessons and pray in other tongues. until it's no more what Gary said, it's thus saith the Lord to you. And then it won't be long. It won't be as long as you think. You'll be amazed the first time you lay your hands on a blind child and that child sees. You'll say, I'm glad I gave up the TV now. I'm glad I dug that red notebook back out and spent those hours confessing that and confessing that, running the Word of God through my soul to convince that unjust judge of the truth. Bless God. Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, he said, you'll be my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Not only that, once you get free, you can get some other folks free.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, the title of go ahead and look at your lesson now. The title of tonight's lesson is called The Light of Life. And we're going to start in John chapter 8, verse 12, which is already printed for you. Then spake Jesus unto them again, saying, hang on just a minute. You're going to have to hold it down a little. Then spake Jesus unto them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The corresponding passage, and this is the same author, John, over in his epistle, 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. How many of you want to walk in the light as he is in the light? See, for years I wondered what that meant. I've got that on there. I've asked the Lord, how do I walk in the light as Jesus is in the light? John didn't say, no, the Holy Spirit didn't have John write that for nothing. You know, how do we do it, Jesus? I want to walk in the light as he's in the light, don't you? I know you do. And so I'd ask him, does that mean keeping all of the commandments? Is that what it means? Does it mean, like, you know, perfect church attendance? Is that what it mean? Does it mean getting rid of all your bad habits? What does it mean, really? You know, what does it mean to walk in the light as he is in the light? The key to understanding what Jesus is talking about in that phrase, back up there in John 8:12, he's telling you, he's saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, if you have the light of life, you can walk in it. Okay? Now, he's saying, the key is there when he says, he that followeth me. The Greek word translated followeth is, I can't even say this, A-K-O-L-O-U-T-H-E-O. Akolutheo. Sounds good to me. And it means... Now, get this. See, because that word follow in English, I always get a picture of Jesus is up there ahead of me, and I'm following him. You know, follow, that's what it means in English to me. When you're following somebody, I'm behind you. But that's not what that Greek word means. Akolutheo means to be in the same way with. It means to accompany. And the picture it's painting is if Andy and I were walking down the same path, just side by side or almost arm in arm, you know, just where we're walking the same path together. That's what it's talking about. So in plain talk, it means you and Jesus walking side by side, going down the same path together. Now, does that sound familiar? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is what he meant when he said, I am the way. Walk with me. Walk in the same path with me. Let's walk together is what he's saying. So look, taking that back up to John 8:12, let's say it like that. Then spake Jesus unto them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that walks with me on the same path shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Isn't that good stuff?
Yeah.
Whoa, okay, so you want to walk on the same path with Jesus?
Yeah.
Okay, see, now I'm an engineer, you know. So I'm going, well, how do you do that? I mean, you know, okay, I see what walking in the light is. That's walking on the same path with you, Jesus. Now, okay, I see that. I want to do that. But now how do I do that? We're still, for me, I don't know what to do yet. Do you? For additional tapes by Gary Carpenter? No, okay. Okay, so that's what, Well, what path is Jesus on, see? What path is Jesus on? What does that really mean? Now, remember the laws of Bible meditation. Law number one, you never lift a verse out of its context, right? Y'all have been taught meditation well. You find the beginning of the subject, you find the ending of the subject, you don't split it up, and you meditate. Maybe there's only one verse in the middle there that's giving you trouble, like this one here, walking in the light, okay? But you read that whole passage so that you don't break up the seed. You know, in the natural, if you take a corn seed and you say, well, I'm going to have twice the crop this year, I'm going to cut all my corn seeds in half and plant them, you know what you're going to get? Zippo. You're going to get nothing because you destroyed the image that's in the seed. Inside of that seed is the image of a whole corn stalk. If you cut it in half, you destroyed the image. No, it's not going to grow. Okay, the Word of God is like that. It's delivered in whole images by the Master Teacher, Jesus Himself, or actually by the Holy Spirit all through the Bible. And that's why you have to find the beginning of the subject, the ending of the subject, so you've got the whole image. Then you meditate the thing by reading it over and over and over again. Make sure you equip your spirit for meditation. Then you pray in the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Spirit keep passing that mystery through you. And you every one of you's had it happen, I'm sure, suddenly. Maybe something you've read 100 times. And suddenly, the illumination comes. You go, how could I have not seen that before? Now, that's true meditation. So let's look at this in context, okay? What had just happened when he says, okay, again, John chapter 8, verse 12, when he says, he that walketh with me on the same path shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What had just happened? You don't have to turn there. It's too long. But do you remember the woman that they drug off the bed of adultery? They said, we caught this woman in the very act. And they brought her in to Jesus while Jesus was teaching in the temple. And he says, the law of Moses says she should be stoned. We're here to find out what you say. And they'd really come to tempt him. They're trying to find some way to accuse him. Because now here now to me it looks like a set up deal. I mean, they caught this woman in the very act. How did they know? Okay. I think it was a setup. But anyway, they had her. So they drag her in here right off the bed of adultery, you know. And they're saying, the law of Moses says she should be stoned, you know. What do you say, Jesus? All right, you know the story. He didn't answer them. He said, he stooped down and he started writing something in the sand. Now, I myself, this is Gary's opinion, okay? I myself believe, one by one, he wrote each man's sin. Each one of her accusers, he wrote their sin in that sand. I'm just convinced of it. I can't prove that. And when he got through, he said, the one of you that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. And when he got through writing those sins in the sand in front of them, one by one they left. One by one, they decided maybe I better not be the first one, you know. Okay, you know. So when they'd all left, he turned to the woman and he says, woman, where are thine accusers? She said, there's not any now. He says, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Now, right after that is when he said, verse 12. Let's read it again. Then spake Jesus, this is the top of the page, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me or walks with me on the same path shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Okay? He had just forgiven the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. So you could certainly say that part of walking on the same path with Jesus is to forgive every man their trespasses. Isn't that right? Now, see, part of what he's saying here, this is not on the paper, but when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, God is light. What he's talking about, he says, I've come to reveal the Father unto you. The Pharisees had no concept of a God who would forgive a woman caught on the bed of adultery. That didn't square with their theology at all. They had no concept of a forgiving God. To them, God was a God of law. He was a God of judgment, okay? And that's the only concept they had. That's one reason Jesus came. He says, I've come to bring the light. If you'll see me, you'll see what the Father's really like. Your concept of God is wrong, okay? God is a forgiver, is what Jesus is trying to tell them. God the Father is a forgiver. He's provided forgiveness, though they don't know it yet, but Jesus is going to provide that forgiveness with His own blood just a year or so later. Okay? All right? Well, He'd forgiven that woman, so you could certainly say that part of walking on the same path with Jesus is to forgive every man their trespasses, and I put a reference for you to look up later there, Mark 11, verses 25 and 26. That's the one where He says, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither is your Heavenly Father going to forgive you. But there's more to it than that. Now see, the religious leaders were outraged at Jesus because He forgave the woman. And they began to slander Him as being a false witness of God. He says, your witness is not true. You're speaking of yourself. You know? And your witness is not true because of that. And there begins a long discourse, which I didn't print out. I didn't have enough room. A long discourse between Jesus and these religious Pharisees about that. And they keep accusing Him, and He keeps answering them back. And it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. But we're going to go all the way down to the end of that discussion, because Jesus has not changed the subject. And He's going to show us some more about what it is to walk on the same path with Him, okay? So let's look at the conclusion of this discussion. And you'll see Jesus' own definition of what it means to walk in the light. Now, I like it when the Bible gives its own definition. You know, Webster's is okay. I'd rather get it from Jesus. All right? John chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. Now get this. This is what Jesus calls walking in the light. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. That is walking in the light, you people. Now watch this. When He says, I do nothing of myself, what He's saying there, He's saying, I didn't choose myself to forgive that woman. I didn't decide on my own to do that. In fact, I don't decide on my own to do anything. I'm only doing what I see my Father doing. And I'm declaring the Father unto you. That's why I'm on purpose not doing anything on my own. Everything I do is with the idea of you seeing what the Father's really like. Isn't that good? All right, now we'll see. When He says, I do nothing of myself. See, Jesus died to His own life at His baptism in the Jordan River. We've talked about that before. Let's talk about it again for a minute. When Jesus was baptized by John, He didn't come for the same reason that everybody else came. John was baptizing, he was offering the baptism of repentance of their sins. He was basically saying, come repent, have your sins washed away. And so when the people came, symbolically, when they went under the water, they were confessing their sins and receiving forgiveness of their sins. Isn't that right? Well, now you know Jesus didn't come to have His sins washed away, did He? He wasn't there for that purpose, was He? What He was doing when He came, and John was shocked that Jesus wanted to be baptized by Him. He says, Jesus, I need to be baptized by you. You know, because you baptized with the Holy Ghost. I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me. And He didn't really explain it very well, you know, very much to John, but basically He said, John, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, here's what was happening with Jesus' baptism. When he went under that water, He was saying to God the Father by this visual demonstration, Father, this day I die to my life. I give up all my rights as a human being to have a wife, to have a family, to have a career, to have anything on my own. I give up my life today. I know why You sent me, Father. And I am making the declaration by this symbolic act, I die to what the world would call a normal human life. When He went under that water, it was symbolic of His death. And He was really saying also to the Father, I know why You sent me. I'm going all the way. I'm going to that cross. This was like a vow from Jesus to the Father. Okay? But then when He came up out of the water, that's symbolic of His faith. Father, I will rise again. I'm going to keep my part, Father, and I know that you're going to keep your part. I will rise again. I will be the second man, the last Adam, the firstborn from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
Do y'all see that? But now the point we're emphasizing tonight is when he went under that water, now his baptism was, my life doesn't belong to me anymore. I have no agenda of my own. I have no ministry plans of my own. I'm not intending to build a mighty ministry, you know, on my own here. Everything I'm doing from this day forward, Father, is for you. My life is over. My life is for you now, Father. Can you see that? Because that's critical. Now watch. Because of that, that's why he says, I don't do anything of myself. He was saying, I have no agenda of my own. Father, my life belongs to you. I am here to do your will, not my own, even unto death. Now that's what Jesus meant when he said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Because he wasn't living his own life anymore. See, he was allowing the Father's, now notice these underlined words, he was allowing the Father's life to be lived through him. Why? Because he came to reveal the Father. If he didn't let the Father live through him, how would men see the Father? You see? So he was letting the Father's life, he was allowing the Father's life to be lived through him. Now get this, God is light, the Bible says, 1 John 1:5. So God, according to Jesus, God living through you is the light of life. Once we finally quit living our lives and turn ourselves over to Jesus and say, Jesus, I don't have an agenda anymore. I don't have a plan anymore. I'm not trying to build a ministry, Jesus. Jesus, live the life of the Father through me. I've been bought with a price, Lord. I'm not my own. Whatever you say, Jesus, that is my life from here on out.
Amen.
You see that?
Amen.
Boot camp or what?
Amen.
Serious stuff or what? Yeah. Huh? At this point, Annie, there's a book right there by John G. Lake on the coffee table.
Yep.
Hand me that, please. I wasn't going to do this, but it's not my Bible study.
Okay.
Now, I'm not at all saying that the Lord is calling anyone in this room to be a martyr. How many of you... Does anyone not know who John G. Lake is or was? Okay? John G. Lake lived right around the turn of the century. He probably had one of the mightiest miracle ministries since the book of Acts. He was in Africa during the time of the bubonic plague, which wiped out a quarter of the population of the entire continent. It was the most contagious thing on earth. Yet when the people died of that, they would foam at the mouth. He never got it. None of his family ever got it. The scientists in America couldn't understand why. They sent, or it might have been Europe, but they sent scientists down there to investigate. Why aren't you getting this? This is the most deadly thing around. And John G. Lake would handle these with, you know, just with his hands. He told him, he said, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. They go, no, really. We want to know really. He says, I am telling you really. Get your microscopes out. So they would get their microscopes out. He took a slide over to a just recently deceased native, took that glass slide and got a little foam from his mouth. Brought it over where they were ready, got the microscopes out. He says, now watch. And first they looked at it on the glass, and it was alive and teeming with germs, you know, bacteria. He says, now watch this as I apply it to my skin. He applied that foam to his skin, and they watched with their own microscopes as all of that bacteria died instantly when it contacted his skin. And he says, I told you, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You understand that? Now, he walked in that for years, and I don't want to go into a whole lot about John G. Lake. If you don't have this book, Mark, you can order them through Mardell's. This is the one, it's called just called John G. Lake. Gloria Copeland wrote the introduction to it. So if that can help you, it's fabulous. But anyway, boot camp, there's no such thing as a soldier not willing to die for the cause. Well, there is such a thing as that. We call them cowards. We call them AWOL. We call them traitors. We call them a lot of things. But if you're going to truly be a soldier in any army, it's unto death, is it not? All right, now I want you to listen to this. Listen to this. This was right around 1900. This is when they were in South Africa. John G. Lake says, and he had a lot of, at this point, he had many, 125 missionaries under him working out on the front lines in amongst the natives, okay? Now, during one of the periods of extreme necessity in our great work in South Africa, our finances became cut off for various reasons. I was anxious that there should be no letting down of the work we were doing, and was trusting that it would not be necessary to withdraw our men, who had labored and suffered to get the work established on the frontier. However, not being able to supply funds to those on the front, I deemed it the only wise thing to do to get them all together in a general conference and decide what was to be our future action. By great sacrifice, a sacrifice too great for me to tell you of this afternoon, we succeeded in bringing in our missionaries from the front for a council. He means a meeting. I told them the existing conditions, and we sat down in the nighttime to decide what would be our future policy. After a time, I was invited by a committee to leave the room for a minute or two. While I was in the vestry, the brethren in the body of the tabernacle continued their conference and went on discussing the general question. When I returned, they said to me, "Brother Lake, we have arrived at a decision." Old Father Van de Waal spoke for the company. He said, "We have reached this conclusion." Now get this. "There is to be no withdrawal of any man from any position. We feel that the time has come when your soul ought to be relieved of responsibility for us. We feel we have waited your life long enough. But now, by the grace of God, we return to our stations to carry on our work. We live or die, depending on God. If our wives die, they die. If our families die, they die. If we survive, we survive. But we are going back to our stations.
Amen.
This work will never be withdrawn. We have one request. Come and serve the communion of the Lord's Supper to us once more while we stand together." And as I took the cup, they arose and they stood in a large circle. I took the bread and passed it. It went from hand to hand around the circle. When it came time to pass the wine, I took the cup in my hand, and with the usual statement that Jesus gave in the committal of himself to God, "My blood of the New Testament," I passed it on. And the next one, looking up to God, he said, "My blood in the New Testament." Every one of them, to death. That's what they're saying. Do you understand what's going on? "We're returning to our post, the job you gave us. My blood, if necessary, in the New Testament." And so it passed from hand to hand, clear around the circle. Within a few months, I was compelled to bury 12 out of that company. Every one of them might have lived if we could have supplied the ordinary essential things they ought to have received. But, beloved, we had made our pledge to God. We had declared by the love of God in our souls, and because of what Christ has done for us, that we would be true to Him. And in the name of Christ, His gospel should be spread abroad as far as it was in our power to do. We don't know anything about that. We're not worthy to wipe the dust off of the shoes of men like that. "My God, it's too hot. I'm not going to the meeting tonight." You know, somebody said in my chair, "Dear God, I'm offended at what they said. They hurt my pride." We're going to have to grow up if we're going to see a revival. It takes character to serve God. Oh, God, help me. I'm mad at myself, too. I see myself in this. I think, what a wimp. What a wimp. Boot camp. When our men left in World War II to go and fight the Germans, how many of y'all served in the Army in World War II? Vietnam, anything?
Vietnam.
Was it unto death or not?
Yes.
Yeah, my best buddy died there.
You knew when you left it was unto death. There was no going AWOL. There was no treason. It was unto death. You didn't want to die. Neither did these men. That's not what we're saying. But it was unto the death, was it not? Amen? We're going to have to quit the bickering, the little petty fighting, the private agendas. I think I should be in charge. All of this stuff, give me a break. Who are we serving? Are you serving yourself or are you serving the Lord Christ? If you haven't heard that message I taught on the ministry of Gaius, you don't want to wind up like Diotrephes. Diotrephes loved the preeminence in the church, and he wound up becoming the enemy of the gospel of Christ himself. Don't be like that. Become that slave. Become like, we need to all become like these men. These men. If we die, we die. If our wives die, they die. Well, we've already, see, the key is I've already died. I don't belong to myself. My life is not my own, Jesus. I belong to you, Lord. Whatever you say, that's what I do. Unto death, if need be. Because I've already died to my life. At your baptism, if they would have instructed you correctly, that's what you were vowing, whether you know it or not. Most people don't have a clue why they even get baptized. But really, you were making the same vow Jesus did. I die to my life, Jesus. I don't belong to myself anymore. Whether I live, it's unto you. Whether I die, it's unto you. Paul says, I'm going to have these verses in a little while. To live is Christ. To die is gain. Glory to God. He says, for your sake, I desire to remain. But for me, it would be far better to depart and be with Christ. Remember, always remember all the days of your life. The worst man can do to you, all they can do is kill you. I mean, for crying out loud. And the next instant, you step into glory to be with Christ forever. What have we got to fear? Our agenda, our life. That's the only thing. All right, I think I've recovered now. This book messed me up, let me tell you what. In a good way, it'll mess you up in a good way too. Read that book. I don't even wonder. You know, got some parts of it. I read that. I go, dear God, am I even saved? I am, though. Hallelujah. Be saved next time you see me, too. Hallelujah. All right. Let's start at this again where it says, I do nothing of myself. Jesus died to his own life at his baptism in the Jordan River. He was saying, I have no agenda of my own. Father, my life belongs to you. I am here to do your will, not my own, even unto death. That's what Jesus meant when he said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. He was allowing the Father's life to be lived through him. God is light. God living through you is the light of life. When we walk with Jesus on that same path, we will be able to say, along with him, I do always those things that please him. What a testimony. What a testimony. We walk in darkness when we are still trying to live our own life instead of letting Christ live the life of the Father through us. Can you see that? Going back to Gaius, that fellow named Diotrephes, he could care less really about the gospel of Christ. What he wanted was a ministry. He desired the preeminence. He wanted to be in charge. To the point, his mind became so darkened. See, when you start serving yourself, that's when the darkness sets in. He was so blinded to the truth, he refused to let his church support men like Paul, men like Timothy. He says, he got so darkened that he said, if you support them, if I find out you're sending them any money, if I find out you're supporting men like Paul, I'll excommunicate you out of this church. Now why? The root of it all is in those three words. He desired the preeminence. He had his own agenda. He made himself first in this life. Where do y'all think he's going to wind up in the next life? He's going to be last. He's going to be last. See, you never try and build a ministry. You're not trying to do anything except let Christ live through you. That's what boot camp is all about. That's what, and it's going to take time with Him. You can't make yourself into something you're not. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. Our job is to present ourselves to Him and let Him, through praying in other tongues, through worship, through confession, through meditation of the Word, transform you so that you begin to think with the very mind of Christ Himself. And then you'll be able to say like these men, "My blood in the New Testament if need be, Father. My blood if it need be." Hallelujah. Now, 1 John 2:11. "He that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knows not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes." Now, why does anyone hate his brother? Because of something you perceive that they did to you. Y-O-U, you. You and your life is still very much alive, if that's the case. In a nutshell, it is the pride of life that causes all strife and all contention and all hatred between men. The darkness that blinds us from the path of light that Jesus walks is when we are still living unto ourselves instead of living unto God. Only as we yield our lives to Him and see things from His perspective. His perspective always has eternity in mind. Do you understand that? He's always thinking about the eternal soul of the one who's persecuting you. Look at me. Look at me here for a minute. I know it gets warm. Jesus always has the eternal soul in mind of the one who is persecuting you. Our problem is, they had no right to do that to me. You're still living your own life. You're walking in darkness. God sees with eyes of eternity. He's trying to save that soul that's persecuting you and doing you ugly from eternal hell. And if you'll start walking with His eyes, you won't be walking in darkness anymore. Hallelujah. And he said, "And I wanted to come tonight." Hallelujah. Got to be getting close. Okay. The darkness that blinds us from the path of light that Jesus walks is when we are still living unto ourselves instead of living unto God. Only as we yield our lives to Him and see things from His perspective, which always has eternity in mind, can we see to walk in the light as He is in the light. His mind becomes our mind. His heart becomes our heart. His love becomes our love. And His motives becomes our motives. And I should have put one more on there. His power becomes your power.
Amen.
That's really what's going to happen. His power becomes your power. See, God, I don't know if you figured this part out yet, if you thought it all the way through. The ministry of Jesus Christ is not over. God never intended it to be over when he went to heaven. He intended for it to be expanded millions of fold through the body that's on the earth, which is all of us. He intends for Christ to still be doing the same things in your body that He did when He had His own body. But religion came and talked the church out of it and said all of that passed away with the apostles, that tongue stuff, there's nothing to that. That casting out devils, that all passed away. There's no healing anymore. Religion, tool of the devil, came and stole that from the church. Bless God, I'm in the business of getting it back.
Hallelujah.
You too?
Amen.
Amen? I mean, He said, "It is better for you, it's expedient for you that I go away." See? Because if I don't go, the Comforter will not come. But bless God, He left. The Holy Spirit came. Guess where He took up residence? In you. That's right. And that's why Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I..." Confession page. Now, this first one, I want to mention it for just a minute. You notice I have on there one statement three times. The reason I do is because in the gospel, it says Jesus three times prayed this same prayer with the very same words. You seldom ever see Jesus praying exactly the same prayer more than once. This one he prayed 3 times. How important is this? Okay, now say it with me. Say, Father,
Father,
not my will,
not my will,
but thine be done.
But thine be done.
Father,
Father,
not my will,
not my will,
but thine be done.
But thine be done.
Father,
Father,
not my will,
not my will,
but thine be done.
But thine be done.
I walk on the same path with Jesus.
I walk on the same path with Jesus.
Jesus is the light of the world.
Jesus is the light of the world.
Christ in me is the light of the world.
Christ in me is the light of the world.
I walk in the light with Jesus.
I walk in the light with Jesus.
I do not walk in darkness.
I do not walk in darkness.
I see where I'm going.
I see where I'm going.
I have the light of life.
I have the light of life.
The light of life,
the light of life
is to do the will,
is to do the will
of my Father.
Of my Father.
I have no agenda of my own.
I have no agenda of my own.
I make no decisions on my own.
I make no decisions on my own.
I say and do,
I say and do
those things which the Father,
those things which the Father
has taught me.
Has taught me.
God the Father,
God the Father,
God the Son,
God the Son,
and God the Holy Spirit,
and God the Holy Spirit,
are always with me.
Are always with me.
They will never forsake me.
They will never forsake me.
I always do those things.
I always do those things
that please the Father.
That please the Father.
The Father sent Jesus into the world.
The Father sent Jesus into the world.
Jesus has sent me into the world.
Jesus has sent me into the world.
The strength of my life,
the strength of my life,
is to do the will,
is to do the will
of Him that sent me,
of Him that sent me,
and to finish His work,
and to finish His work.
My part of the work,
my part of the work,
is to believe on Christ,
is to believe on Christ,
who lives in me,
who lives in me.
He is still doing the work of the Father,
He is still doing the work of the Father,
through me. For me to live is Christ.
For me to live is Christ.
Christ lives in me.
Christ lives in me.
I live to do thy will, O God.
I live to do thy will, O God.
I die daily to my own will.
I die daily to my own will.
My life belongs to you, Jesus.
My life belongs to you, Jesus.
Have your way in my life, Jesus.
Have your way in my life, Jesus.
I belong to you.
I belong to you.
Live your life through me.
Live your life through me.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I only desire your will.
I only desire your will.
For my life.
For my life.
I will live where you want me to live.
I will live where you want me to live.
I will do what you want me to do.
I will do what you want me to do.
My life belongs to you completely.
My life belongs to you completely.
Whether in life.
Whether in life.
Or in death.
Or in death.
I am yours.
I am yours.
Christ shall be magnified in my body.
Christ shall be magnified in my body.
Whether it be by life.
Whether it be by life.
Or by death.
Or by death.
We're starting. You're talking some boot camp stuff now.
Yeah.
We're talking a soldier unto death now.
Yeah.
You're going to have to love Jesus to do this. You're going to have to quit playing church and love Jesus. I want you to look at the scriptures where I got that last one, because I know that's a hard one. James 4:15, and what he had been talking about, these Christians were going around saying, oh, we're going to move to such and such a town, and we're going to live there for a year, and we're going to buy and sell and get gain. And he jumps all over him and he says, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live. And do this or that. And I have to keep going back to what Jesus told Peter. He says, Peter, you're going to live to be an old man. He says, right now you're able to dress yourself and go anywhere you want. But I'm telling you, when you're old, others are going to dress you and they're going to lead you somewhere you don't want to go. And the scripture says, by this, Jesus was telling him by what death Peter would glorify Jesus. In other words, he was telling Jesus, Jesus was telling Peter, you're going to be a martyr for me. It's going to be when you're old. You're going to live out your life. But you're going to be a martyr. Well, Peter, you know, misery loves company. Amen? He looks around and he sees John, the Apostle John. And he says, Lord, what about this man? Oh, but listen to this. Listen to this. How much is Jesus Lord? See? Jesus says, if I desire, if it's my will, that John lives till I return again. Peter, what's that to you?
Right.
You follow me.
Amen.
You follow the course. You get on the path with me that I've set for you. And you and I will walk together. That's all I'm requiring of you. Don't you worry about John.
Amen.
Boy, if we could only learn that with the different ministries in the church.
Yeah.
Dear God, you know, you better be concerned about your own walk on the path with Jesus and quit talking about everybody else's now. I'm telling you, that's dangerous ground. Dangerous ground to be on. They're not your servant. They're another man's servant. That includes me too. Hallelujah. If you don't agree with me, pray for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But anyway, Jesus is Lord, people. When you got saved, you're bought with a price. Your life is not your own, even whether you'll live or not. Yeah, I hear, whew, you know. Well, then Philippians 1:20, this is Paul. He says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life, or by death. Isn't that something?
Hallelujah.
That sounds like these men, doesn't it?
Jesus,
let me tell you what else, though, if you ever get to read this book. See, you read that and you think, well, through these same men, let me tell you, more miracles, lepers being made whole, blind eyes opening, whole plagues stopping. I mean, just incredible things. Cancers falling off in the floor when people prayed, when these guys prayed for them. They had the power of God because God had their life. That's what it is. God had their life. They had God. That's the way it works. It doesn't work any other way. God has your life. You have God. If He doesn't have your life, you're playing church.
I'm
not saying you won't go to heaven. But God can't live His life through you because you've still got your own life. Every time He says something to you, move to Omaha, you're going, no, I want to live in Tulsa. Or if He says, move to Tulsa, no, I want to live in Fort Myers. You know? Or whatever He says. Whether He says, start a Bible study in your house, or He says, stop the Bible study in your house. In any event, whether we live, whether we die, we belong to Him. Our job is to hear His voice and obey it. Isn't that right?
That's right.
Not to be reasoning. I'll tell you a big problem. A lot of people start their ministry and God, and sure enough, they'll start off right. They'll start off serving God faithful. And for most people, it's a struggle. It was for us. Still is for us. But you reach certain levels, you know. And then things start to get comfortable. You kind of settle into it. Then God says, I want to make a change. I want to check. You remember Kenneth Hagin? Pastored a church. He was pastoring the best church he'd ever pastored. They lived in the best parsonage that they'd ever lived in. His kids had the best clothes they'd ever had. Now God says, I want you to be an evangelist. I want you to leave this pastorate, go out on the road, and be an evangelist. Do you remember that? Now what if he had said no?
Kenneth who?
Yeah, that'd be it. We'd all be going, Kenneth who? Because we wouldn't even know of a Kenneth Hagin today. See, the problem is, it starts out being Jesus' ministry. You're serving Jesus. But once you reach a certain comfort level with most of them, suddenly it becomes their ministry again. We'll do it. I'll do it my way. Thank you very much. We're making a decent living here. We're doing good. People are getting blessed. We'll just do it my way. Thank you very much. And Jesus is going, I thought this was my ministry. I thought you were serving me. See? You see what I'm saying? You don't know where I'm going, but you will here in a little bit. Hallelujah. Let's go through this one more time. Say, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Father,
not my will,
but thine be done. Father,
Father,
not my will,
but thine be done.
I walk on the same path with Jesus. Jesus is the light of the world. Christ in me is the light of the world. I walk in the light with Jesus. I do not walk in darkness. I see where I am going. I have the light of life. The light of life is to do the will of my Father. I have no agenda of my own. I make no decisions on my own. I say and do those things which the Father has taught me. That means I obey God. I follow His instructions. May I make sure you understood that part? God the Father,
God the Son,
and God the Holy Spirit
are always with me.
They will never forsake me.
I always do those things
that please the Father. The Father sent Jesus into the world. Jesus has sent me into the world. The strength of my life, is to do the will of Him,
that sent me,
and to finish His work.
My part of the work,
is to believe on Christ, who lives in me. He is still doing the work of the Father, through me, for me to live as Christ.
Christ lives in me.
I live to do Thy will, O God.
I die daily to my own will.
My life belongs to You, Jesus. Have Your way in my life, Jesus.
I belong to You.
Live Your life in me.
Lord Jesus,
I only desire
Your will for my life.
Bear with me here a minute. We got a lady in trouble. Hallelujah. Say, Lord Jesus. For the benefit of the tape, I had to turn the fan. Somebody was really getting hot.
I only desire
Your will for my life.
I will live where You want me to live.
I will do what You want me to do.
My life belongs to You completely.
Whether in life,
or in death,
I am Yours.
Christ shall be magnified in my body.
Whether it be by life,
or by death.
Now let me give you some final instructions for you and also everyone that hears my voice by tape for this boot camp. Again, if you take this to be the last time you ever get into your manual, let me just tell you plainly, and most of us, myself included, the Father is not yet getting to do the works very much through the anointing of Christ in us. Do you understand what I'm saying? And most of us right now, we're not seeing a whole lot of the blind seeing, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, the demoniac being set free, and the insane being made right in their head. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, training, the whole point of the boot camp, the whole point is to be trained and equipped as lethal weapons against the enemy. Now, you get these manuals, you get them back out, you go over them if you're serious. If your life does belong to Him, say these things. Part of meditation is saying these things. When God talked to Joshua, He said, this word, this book of the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Speaking the word out of your mouth is part of meditation. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. You get that? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. Part of meditation is speaking the Word of God out of your mouth. You keep hearing it, faith is coming. You keep hearing it, faith is coming. Do you understand me? Now, the Holy Spirit, His job, what He does, He manifests the spoken Word of God. That's what He does. If God had never said, "Let there be light," the Holy Spirit would still be hovering over the face of the deep, waiting for the spoken Word. Okay? Now, the Holy Spirit is intending to build and form Christ, the Anointed One, in every one of us. Guess what He's waiting on? The spoken Word, more than anything else. You say this and you say it and you say it like it's already the truth, because it is the truth.
Amen.
Truth changes fact. You remember that lesson?
Amen.
Truth changes fact. I know what the facts are, so do you. Truth will change that if we'll give the Spirit of truth the raw material He needs to build the truth in you. Jesus said, "I am the way, the life," and He is the truth.
Amen.
He is the Word of God. Father, Thy Word is truth. You see how it all fits together? The Holy Spirit builds Him into you, literally. Well, we don't talk about it anymore. You're doing it.
Amen.
Then you graduated boot camp.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You got it? You got it?
Yes.
Now give yourselves to it.
Yes.
Give yourselves to it.
Right.
Give the Holy Spirit what He needs to build this into your life. Think of all of the cripples, all of the little children with multiple sclerosis. I'm telling you plain, I'm telling you bold, without shame, if God the Father has His way, not one of them will stay in those wheelchairs.
Amen.
There is no such thing as that. Get that out of your mind forever. There, in God, there is no darkness at all. He is light now. If He has His way, there's no such thing as a blind person staying blind now. There's no such thing as that. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father." He didn't ever leave them that way. When they came, they got what they came for. And God has not changed. And He'll do it through Christ in you if we'll ever give the Holy Spirit the raw material He needs to form Christ in us. Is that good preaching or what? Hallelujah. Now, got one other announcement. This whole part about you got to obey God, that we don't ever, you don't ever get off the track and think you're building a ministry. I got some news for you. This isn't only the last boot camp. At least in this form, this is the last Bible study. This one tonight, in this format. I got my marching orders. Yes, somebody said, "Are we going to get our marching orders?" Yeah. I got mine. And all I know at this point is, He's told me plain, this is over. Now that tells me something about you. It's about time for you to go to work.
Amen.
For Him to say that, knowing Him, the way I know Him now, He would not do that if He didn't think, if He wasn't convinced that you have the raw materials that it takes. He believes with what you've got at the prayer center and with these materials that you've gotten here, and by the way, I know some of you started late, we'll catch you up. But if you have all of that, He's saying, now if you'll put it into practice, you can change nations. There's no point keep coming and hearing the same stuff over and over. You can do that at your traditional church. You can go your whole life and hear 9,000 ways to be saved, be nice, and go to heaven. There's no point coming here and having me go through this again. You've got it, what it takes. Now it's up to you, because I can't do it for you.
Right.
It's my job to do it for me.
Right.
Okay? I want to go to the next level.
Amen.
I'm not happy with this, are you?
No.
I'm tired of them wheeling the kids in to the church and wheeling the kids out. God, change this or let me die now. I mean, there's no reason to go on. That's not the way it's supposed to be, is it? You see what I'm saying? So, you've got what it takes. Now, if you don't put it into practice, if you don't use it, I declare with Paul, I am innocent of your blood. For I have fully preached unto you the gospel that I know. I've given you my best. I've given you my best. So is Sue.
Amen.
Now it's up to you. Now it's up to you. Now, I also know God. He's great. God likes busy people. I don't know what the next step is for Sue and I. But I can tell you this. You've heard me talk about when I disobeyed God for 10 months because I wouldn't quit driving the trucks when He told me. If I was to continue doing this, I'd be in that same level of disobedience. This is not my ministry, although it says Gary Carpenter on it. It's just so people can identify us. Sue and I, our lives belong to Him. I've learned from Him. He never tells me about step two until I take step one. Well, step one right now is tonight's it. Tonight's it. This is the last one. I don't know what's coming next. When I know, you'll know. Okay? I would suggest this to you because the ministry is going to go on. We have a lot of people to get these tapes. A lot of you, there's a lot of tapes you've never heard that from before when you started. If we don't have your mailing address, you ought to be sure we do have it before you leave here tonight. You know, of course, we'll be seeing you at the church, but be sure you're on the mailing list because I don't know what's coming next. It might be real exciting, though. Y'all might want to be part of it.
You guys better get ready, too.
That's right. That's right. You've got enough information in you right now to change nations. You better get ready, see. God's raising up. We already got some in the ministry already here. God's fixing to raise up a bunch more. Do you understand there's no such thing as Him not using a person where Christ has been formed in them? There's no such thing as that. If you'll get this revelation at your age, it doesn't make any difference. Your age. You could start praying and letting God and speaking these scriptures and building it into your heart until faith, the very faith of Christ, comes into you where He can use you. Bless God, He'll use you too, won't He?
Amen.
He sure will. Age has got nothing to do with it. Maturity in Christ does. Christ being... Yeah, that's good. I want that on the tape. I'm talking to the... How old are you, son? 13. 14. Right around that age. Ellen says, the Christ that's in them is the same age as the Christ that's in us. He's full grown, isn't he?
Amen.
It's us that's got to grow up into Him. He's already full grown. That's a good word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And this is going to seem really strange. We've been doing this for over 2 years now. And it's going to seem really strange. But if we don't have your address, you know, you want to be on the list, our mailing list. I think I've got most of you. Yeah, I also need to know if you didn't sign this piece of paper, whether I have your address or not, because anyone that's not here, I need to mail them a letter and let them know, you know, that we're not having the Bible study. I'll have 30 different people show up here next Thursday. They're going to be disappointed, you know. Hallelujah. So please be sure that you do that. And Angie's got something here. She
I took it for myself to give it to him from all of us.
Okay, for benefit of the tape, my daughter Angie gave me a framed picture that has a donkey head on it, and it says, Gary, hee-haw, hee-haw, donkey man. So lovingly beat us with the word and taught us how to grow up. We love you. Thursday night Bible study. Isn't that something? Yeah, I love being the donkey man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For those of you on the tape that don't know what we're talking about, order tape T112. You'll know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Let's have one prayer here. Father, I just trust that you know what you're doing. And I do trust you, Lord. And you know, I'm but dust. You know how I'm made, Father. This is a hard moment for me. But Father, I pray that Sue and I have done your will, that we've given our best. Lord, you've given me so much love for these people that it's hard to do what you're asking me to do. But you're the Lord and I'm not. Now, Father, I place the spirits of every person in this room back into your hands now. If Father, I trust your Holy Spirit to take them from here because I've taken them as far as I can. And Lord, with my mouth, I declare every person that is set under this teaching, I declare them to be good soil. Your word will prosper in these people where you've sent it. And it will grow 30, 60, and 100 fold. Father, above everything, I do pray that Christ be formed in myself and every person that's hearing my voice. Father, let your Son live through us, Father. And Father, live your life through Him. Father, I thank you for the time you've given us to serve these people. What a privilege and what an honor. But Lord, I trust you now. We're looking ahead, Father. We're not looking behind at those things. But we look forward to more, even more glorious times and a greater walk and a greater anointing, not only for us, but for every person. Every poor person who loves your word. Every person who hearkens to your voice. Oh, Father, I thank you for these people. Now for you, I do pray with all of my heart that every one of you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. We still made it by 9. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.